Oh, I'm getting levels. We are.
Oh, we're recording live this time.
This
so
is
that,
wonderful.
Yeah, we had a good 10-15 minutes of good solid content that didn't actually record because I'm assuming Michael fucked it up somewhere.
I totally fucked it up. Hello and welcome back to the Two Dudes One Ball podcast, live and direct from the recording of our kitchen because Grandma pushed us out of the basement. I am Michael White, Michael L. White on Twitter. He is Ryan. How are you doing, Ryan?
I'm good.
Ryan Brown at RyanMB30 on the tweets. We actually have our own Twitter for the account, which is occasionally updated at Two Dudes One Ball. You can check the show notes at withonions.com and send us all your lovely adulations because we are amazing at hate mail for soccer, F-O-R, not the number, hate mail for soccer at gmail.com.
Mm-hmm.
I already said, how you doing? How you doing again, though?
I'm good.
Are you better? Are you better than the 40 seconds that I said? How you doing?
I am, although I'm a little distressed upon hearing that the Timbers have been scored on by Dallas,
yep.
Although it wasn't Urruti.
No, it wasn't. It was Barrios.
Not yet. Although we're kind of banking on it being Urruti at some point.
I would think so.
If only because of the way that former Timbers have managed to score against us. Although, the previous Timbers that have scored against us have been those who generally didn't score when they played for us, such as Mikey Harrington or Pamodu Ka.
We helped Ka find his shooting form because he had that brace later on in the season after the preseason friendly.
Wasn't that
goal
against us? He scored against us in the
The first one, I was there, I showed up.
Preseason, yeah. And then he scored against us again, I think, postseason.
Maybe. I was at the Timbers Steinbeck game, and he was running around eating shitty food in the concessions area, but I don't know if that was the second game. Great story, though. That was a great story by me. Hashtag content.
Hashtag filler, because we already blew our load on the first 15
yeah,
minutes.
Yeah, it said it was recording, but I had no levels. Thank you, Audacity. How dare you give me crap for free? So we'll be talking. Oh, we're already starting to talk about the Timbers. We'll talk about NWSL, some expansion hopes, sponsorship stuff, and then we'll get into Thorns preseason opener. Talk about bacon. We have to talk about some bacon.
We do. It's just not a podcast if we don't bring up.
If I don't make fun of hobble leggy scratchy voice. El Hagarino. What's the point?
Glass ankles. She's so actually, you know, when I played World of Warcraft, when one of the classes were the mages, mm-hmm. and there was a certain type of mage, the fire mages, who were known as glass cannons, who were very deadly if they could get a shot off, but they were very easy to take down, and that's exactly what Alex Morgan is.
Oh yeah,
glass cannon. She's deadly if she can get the shot off. But just take her down super easy.
Yeah.
Anyways, let's start with
Timbers. She had a quality 75 home minutes for us last year in a loss, the second to last game of the season.
Yeah.
She almost looked interested for 15 minutes there at the end.
Yeah, she almost did. And I kind of commend her for that.
Yeah.
That was some effort on her part as a member of the Thorns.
Yeah. They, listening to various online podcasts, Keeper Notes did a pretty good rundown with various local writers talking about each team's preseason hopes, and they called her the marquee name for the Portland Thorns last year. I'm like, how do you get over Sink? Sink has been leading her team. She's the second leading goal scorer in men's or women's history. She absolutely broke all the NCAA scoring records when she was at UP here in Portland. I don't know how you put her second fiddle to Alex,
yeah,
just because
either.
She's not pretty.
I think it's a marketing ploy. It's like maybe with the American fans in general, Alex Morgan is easier to market, and because she's on the U.S. women's national team, you know. Whereas Sinclair, for as good as she is, she's not as marketable because she plays for the Canadians, and you're not going to be able to market her as well, which is a shame. It shouldn't come down to marketing and looks and that sort of thing.
And because, the posturing of who wants it more. Alex clearly hasn't been enjoying those resources since her 2011 breakout in that World Cup.
Yeah. I think it was really telling when there was that interview that Alex Morgan did, I think shortly before or after she got traded to Orlando, when she was talking about her frustrations with the club, and she said she wanted more of a leadership role with the Thorns, but she never quite got it. And it's like, to me, that's not the sign of a leader. A leader is not someone who looks for the spotlight. It's someone who just does the work and falls into the position naturally.
Grabs it and earns it.
Yeah, Sinclair.
Yeah, they had, I mean, how can she be the leader when there was enough articles written about how badly they linked up together playing the two forward positions?
Yeah.
She needed to rectify her own conversations and play with Sink before she would tell the midfield how to line her up and service her in or something.
Yeah. So, And apparently, and something that not going to surprise any Thorns fan, it's being said that she may not be playing for Orlando at the home opener. We may not be seeing her. Apparently, she's out with an injury. We don't know. She's questionable, but that's not a surprise to anyone. In fact, I think most of us would have been surprised had she been at the home match, had she been at the home opener for the Thorns.
It'd be good for leading into their home opener if she is, though, because Jamie Goldberg said she wouldn't be doubtful if it's a full-on sellout. And I wouldn't doubt it at all. I haven't heard much about ticket sales lately, but I bet you they're probably at 12,000 right now. Probably. I had to throw a number out of my ass without any corroboration.
Yeah, and we need that. Like, if the league's going to survive, there needs to be another team that draws as much attendance as the Thorns.
Yeah.
It can't just be us. Mm-hmm. And as much as other NWSL fans may dislike the Thorns because of our attendance and how much attention we get, it's essentially the Thorns that are keeping the league up.
They need that revenue sharing that is brought in from our extra ticket sales. Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, as much, and I kind of look forward to the banter, because it's interesting with the Timbers. You know, we kind of have that there's that that rivalry with Seattle, and it's almost equal. The intensity and the rivalry between the Timbers, between the Timbers Army and the ECS, it's almost equal with the flags, the chanting, the tifos, that sort of thing. But we don't have a rivalry at all with Seattle. We have a rivalry with Seattle in women's soccer because it's Portland and Seattle. On the pitch, Seattle dominates Portland more often than not.
Yeah.
So soccer-wise, it's like, I mean, not to imply that both teams need to be equal in order for there to be a rivalry, but the true rivalry between Portland and Seattle lies within the fan base, because players come and go. The players don't carry that rivalry. It's the fans. And when it comes to the NWSL between the Thorns and the Reign, it's two different fan groups. You know, the Reign have like three separate supporter groups that are kind of get along, but they're small. And you can't hear them. You know, when we go to Memorial for these away matches, the Reign supporters are all down at the opposite end. Or maybe they're spread out throughout the grandstand, but you can't really hear them.
Yeah.
There are a few there who try, but it's just not the same.
No, they have an organized clap on the corners. They throw the flags up during goals and at the beginning of the season or game, and that's it.
Yep. And what I kind of hope, in spite of the fact that we're on opposite ends of the country, is I really want to see Orlando supporters become the rivals to the Riveters, because Seattle hasn't brought it.
No. And OCSC looks so great in the Orange Bowl. I wouldn't be surprised if some of those guys that wouldn't necessarily angle towards women's soccer start getting interested. Mm-hmm. It sure wouldn't help if you get a couple of braces out of a semi-healthy Alex Morgan to kind of interest everybody. Because top flight goalkeeper, top flight when healthy striker. You got some decent players in the middle. I mean, we gave up Catley for them, and she's about as dangerous as a outside back as you get in the world of any gender. So definitely some pieces to look at, even if the results aren't happening.
Right. So that's what we got going on Sunday is the home opener.
Mm-hmm.
How excited are we for that?
I am amped.
I know, right? Get to go to the bullpen beforehand and have our beers before we have to go pay $10 for beers that aren't discounted at Thorns matches the way they are at Timbers and Timbers 2. I don't know the reason for that. I've been meaning to tweet out Merritt Paulson and ask, why aren't beers discounted at Thorns matches the way they are?
When they had the old Reserve League at Providence Park in 2013? Yeah, I was used to those prices. I was like, I think I was paying $5 for a beer. And then the next year when I wasn't paying attention with the Thorns, it's back up to $9.25, $9.50. And I think it's $9.75 this year. It's like, ay caramba. So you always go for the Vortex by Fort George to throw even more alcohol in your system.
It's expensive.
Yeah.
And I think Twitter's still down. So while we're doing the podcast, I'm staring at Twitter trying to get game updates, and I'm not finding it. At least the Twitter app still is.
Fabian Castillo got a second in the 26th.
Oh, my Jesus.
We made predictions during the broken first version.
Ned Grabovoy got a yellow in the...
He is much older than I thought. 32. He's been in the league since the Galaxy with 06.
Yeah.
RSL.
God damn. That's depressing.
So that will be, if this holds, five points in six games.
It's
a relegation saving effort there.
You know, the beginning of the season is always bumpy. The thing that I hate about the beginning of the season, especially with Timbers, and not so much the Thorns. Well, Thorns is kind of justified, but okay, so let me put my thoughts together. So with the Timbers, we always have the beginning of our season is always rough, and then the Chicken Littles all come out of the woodworks and claim that the end is nigh. And then by midseason and towards the end, we pick it up, and we have a healthy end to the season.
Yeah, even the local TA loyalists lose it.
Mm-hmm, yeah. So I'm not worried right now. You know, the same thing happens with the Thorns, but that's a little bit more legitimate because the season's so much shorter. Like, if we're looking poor at the beginning of the season, chances are we're not going to be able to pull ourselves out of that dive bomb.
Especially with this mid-season screw-ups of 15 and 16 with various international duties.
Mm-hmm.
Does not help the chemistry. Everything looked like shit when everybody came back finally last year.
Do you think we're going to face that same problem with the Olympics?
The way we were looking at how microscopic our midfield is with everybody's various international duties, maybe.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, I think Parson was trying to avoid the problems that the Women's World Cup created last year. And I don't... I think we're going to face maybe those same problems that Riley faced last year. And I'm not going to stress over it like I did last year, because it is what it is. And the fact that we've made it into the fourth year, we've made it past the Women's World Cup, is pretty damned cool. And even if we have a mediocre season, you know, we'll have a better shot at it the following season, because we don't have the World Cup or the Olympics to contend with.
Yeah, and only six returners from last year. I was impressed with Long playing the center defensive mid. She looked pretty solid during the preseason games, and Horan came in. I mean, when they were moving together, usually playing the same holding defensive mids, they held space together. They stayed with each other very well, and kind of makes sense when you see how well they played with each other against Colombia. Mm-hmm. So that's something good. Backline, they have a lot of backline players. I think they have five, six, seven. They have seven. They were playing Cat out at right back in that first game. That was interesting. I think the key to this general season is, sure, they still have two spots left, but...
Traditionally, Cat's played center back, right? Yeah.
It's going to be about rotating people in with that minimalistic depth.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of like how Laura Harvey does at Seattle, where she... But she trusts, and everyone's solid and has been there for years. So if she rotates someone from playing left back mm-hmm. to left mid, or left back to right back, you can count on a solid effort, versus the communication issues we've seen with the Thorns the last couple of years have been iffy.
Yeah, I think, you know, there's a lot of people like to give the Thorns shit for, you know, not being able to play well, but a lot of people don't, they're forgetting that almost every season we face a major shakeup in the roster.
Yeah, only, what, six back from last year?
Seattle doesn't.
No.
Women's World Cup, who did Seattle lose? Rapinoe and Hope. That was it. They still had Fishlock, Kim Little, Kim, who's just gorgeous to watch because she's just so good on the ball. Kim Little is that player who, when she gets on the ball, I'm just like, oh God, someone stop her now.
Yeah.
And her and Fishlock are amazing together.
Little, Fishlock, Winters, Yanez, Rapinoe. Yeah. I mean, that's a rotation. You don't even, that's half your, with Soap, that Hope, that's half your lineup, and you just plug in place from there.
Mm-hmm.
I would certainly expect to see them back again in the playoffs, if not having a home game.
I think so, too. They frighten me. The fact that we have to play them four times, oh, man, that's stressful to think about. This is why I'm probably going to die young, because of the drinking associated with soccer and the stress that comes from it, and knowing that we're going to be playing Seattle four times, two away, two home matches.
Both on Saturdays, though, so we can travel back and cry or sober up the next day, though.
Yeah, I'm not going to be going to one. At least I haven't. I know I'm not going to the away match in May.
Okay.
The one after that, maybe. So here's what they've done: the last two Seattle away matches have been on the weekend of my birthday at the end of July. So I've always made it a birthday thing. But now we play them here July 25th or 26th, something like that. So my usual Seattle weekend birthday plans are kind of put on hiatus because of the thorns.
Yeah.
But that's how that goes.
Get drunk in town here.
Well, I can do that anywhere. I do that in Seattle, too.
Yeah.
So, yay. I may end up going to the third. Or not the third, but the second away match to Seattle. I haven't decided because I haven't looked at the tickets. Yeah. I haven't looked at the date for it yet.
So we got Seattle as a very viable one of the four teams in the playoffs. Spirit were there last year. Certainly could be. FC Kansas City, I know they're missing LaRue and Rodriguez. But if you count the solids, you've got Seattle, which we mentioned. The Dash look dangerous as shit. You throw in FC Kansas City because they can probably do it. And then you're talking about one potential spot for everybody else. Chicago, obviously, was good last year. Washington lose their coach, but they still got done.
Chicago choked last year in the playoffs. Yeah. They lost to Kansas City, wasn't it?
Yeah, Kansas City shut them
it was
out.
They like it's like 3-0 or
Kansas something. City shut them and the Spirit out. I was hoping for fun contests in those two games, but then it shit didn't happen.
Yeah. Kansas City's good. They're almost kind of like an underdog team in a way.
Yeah.
Just because they
no one pays attention to them in market.
They're in a market that's overshadowed by every other major sporting team. Like I don't Who plays out of Kansas City? Not soccer-wise, because I know that's sporting, but say...
Baseball heavy, Ben.
Okay, yeah. See, I don't pay attention
and to that. They even love their hockey team, though. That season doesn't start till middle of October, typically.
Yeah, so...
Royals won it all last year in baseball land.
Oh, it's baseball?
The little spherical leather ball with the laces on it. That's
at the baseball. You're going at the baseball. You're an asshole.
Yeah. You've been lucky that I haven't been throwing, I haven't been bucknering you with a bunch of baseball and other
sport
references.
This is true. You've actually been pretty nice to me on Twitter. Normally, you're kind of a dick.
That's true.
And you tease me for not knowing anything else about other sports.
Mm-hmm. Toddy too hotty.
That's okay. That's all right. I only have enough. I may be polyamorous with my soccer teams, but I am not polyamorous with the sports that I like and that I love. For me, the only sport I love
that's
is soccer.
That's why Carla leaving hurt, because, I mean... We were in the middle of an awful game we were losing, and Jake Arrieta for her hometown Chicago Cubs pitches a no-no. That's shorthand for no-hitter. That means you don't allow any people to knock that little fake wiffle ball bat and make people safely reach base. He didn't allow that for 27 straight batters.
I'm bored already. Can we go back to talking about soccer?
I've already forgotten what I was talking about. Yeah. Basically, what I was trying to say is that we were celebrating in the middle of a 0-1 home game when he had the no-hitter. I think that might have been the night of the Beatos header.
Oh, the Beatos header. I still get teary-eyed thinking about that.
Yeah.
Okay, so continuing on with the thorns. So today, Jeff Plush, the commissioner for the NWSL, who has...
Tweet of the week, because he tweeted once this week.
Mm-hmm. Who was, it was Lexi on Twitter, Silent Rex. Said she thinks that maybe a younger family member is helping him operate his Twitter account. And I'm like, that's classic. I laughed and I almost choked on my lunch when I read that.
He just got a smartphone, probably.
Probably did. So today there was a bit of a telephone conference about what to expect from the league, kind of like a state of the league address. He addressed the TV deal. So Fox is going to be carrying the regular season games and playoffs.
Unknown championship game, which everyone is alluding to the fact that it's in Houston based on what they offered to their season ticket holders.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Did not know that.
That would be a BBVA campus, Kansas Stadium. I mean, it's the other quality arena in the league, so yeah, why not?
Yeah. Unless they wanted to play at the where Alex Morgan and the Pride play.
Absolutely.
Was that the Citrus Bowl?
Sugar Bowl, Orange Bowl, I forget all the
Citrus
bowls.
Citrus Bowl. It's the Citrus Bowl. They played the It's the Citrus Bowl. You can look at me like that all you want. Look it up. It's what we have the Googles for. It's the Citrus Bowl. So there was talk of a TV deal with Fox and maybe some rumor of ESPN maybe sharing it.
He's actually right.
Yes. Yes. I know something about
this. In my Americanische Fußball love, I have a 1991 Citrus Bowl championship jersey from the Nebraska Cornhuskers.
Again, we're talking about something other than soccer, and I'm bored.
Yeah.
I'm just so bored with you right now.
I'm going to make you wear it if we ever go to a away game there.
Okay, so Fox, maybe ESPN. Of course, YouTube's still going to carry the matches.
Yes. Hopefully the uptime is better this year.
It sounds like they addressed that, especially with Washington. I think what's the name of the soccer complex they play at?
DC Soccerplex.
Yeah, yeah. The Maryland Soccerplex had a lot of issues with broadcasts.
I think were they doing it wirelessly with there, which sounds terrible. Maybe. It's like the old adage that you don't trust hotel Wi-Fi.
I think they probably, you know, I'm hearing they've addressed that issue, which tells me they probably upgraded from like the iPhone 3G and got an iPhone 5 on clearance or something and have set up someone with a mobile router. That's probably what's going on now. They have one of the amateurs.
No one's using their phone to tether the stream to the satellite waves.
So the way it works in the NWSL is that the supporters, the people who buy season tickets, they have a lot of involvement. So not only are you asked to host players because they don't pay the players enough to live on their own. They have to, you know, put up with host families. They also ask the host families if they can tether to their wireless plan. That's a joke, by the way. I don't know if that's true.
It's a joke, by the way.
Someone's gonna
preface alert.
Trigger warning. Trigger warning. That was a joke. So they talked about that, and then they got into expansion cities. Plush was kind of mum on this. He was like saying that there are interested individuals in expanding and having an NWSL team, but he wouldn't say who.
So we'd assume RSL's still the first on the list. They're adding that $50 million various complex, and we've heard rumblings last year about them.
Yeah, and I think what Plush is wanting to do is bring in pairs, like two teams at a time, which makes sense.
Make it fair during the expansion drafts versus a free-for-all.
Yeah, which I like. So, I agree with you, Michael, that it's probably going to be RSL. And honestly, we need more teams in the West because right now it's Portland and Seattle. That's it.
Yeah. Dallas would be nice. I mean, obviously you've seen what Academy has done on the men's side for their youth squad. Phoenix area would be kind of cool.
Yeah. Los Angeles.
Of course.
LA and RSL. LA and Salt Lake, I think, would be my top picks. Mm-hmm. Or even San Francisco.
Yeah. You got the NASL team down there that's getting rights to the old, I think it's Civic Stadium, where the old San Francisco 49ers played. Gorgeous municipal park. Can hold 10,000 now. That'd be a fun place to go.
It's a quick and easy flight, too. San Francisco's cheap to get to. It's like $200 round trip.
Yeah.
It's super easy. Go camp out in the park like everyone else. That's a city that makes Portland look really clean.
Yeah.
San Francisco is dirty.
Borderline cheap, too. Makes us look.
Yeah. That's another podcast for another time.
Housing economy segue.
Other thing he brought up was the need for more sponsors. But apparently, you know, you got Nike, Coppertone, and our favorite, the Mango Board, the National Mango Board. Mangos are still going to be, they're going to be increasing their sponsorship, I guess. I don't know what that actually means, but they're still around, which is good.
Halftime food?
For mangos? We're going to throw mangos?
Just give them to the players. Maybe that could qualify just as upping the sponsorship. Just throwing more at you.
Instead of Kelly O'Hara drinking a chocolate milk, she's biting into a mango.
Absolutely.
Yeah, there we go. You know what I'm hoping to not see again? I mean, speaking of sponsors, I know the league is needing money. But you know, one of the most absurd things that I saw last season was the FC KC halftime show sponsored by Borden, because that's their kit sponsor.
Yeah.
And they were doing like cheese goodie bags. They're getting these little girls out there with cheese hats on and letting them do beanbag toss or cornhole tossing, depending on what part of the country you're from. Cornholing.
Yeah. Them's fighting words, the phrasing, depending on where you're at.
Yeah, I grew up with beanbag. Yeah. It's beanbag. Cornholing just means something completely different. I hadn't actually heard that word until I came out to my mom, and then she was very shocked, and she used that word with me, and I'm just like, that's not appropriate. Anyways, I remember FCKC for their halftime show had these little girls in cheese hats throwing bean bags into holes and doing like winning cheese goodie bags. I'm like, this is absurd. How do we expect the league to be taken seriously when your halftime show consists of 8 and 9 year olds with big cheese helmets on competing for cheesy goodie bags? Like,
it's like something out of single A baseball.
Yeah. It's like, I don't want to see this, but you know, I'm conflicted. It's like, brings them money.
Yeah.
And the league needs money, but then we look absurd, and it kind of reinforces this idea that women's soccer is for the kids, that it can't be taken seriously.
You think with enough business administration majors across this country, you couldn't have one or two in various orgs to do a better job of soliciting promotions and halftime commercials? Because it seems like they give carte blanche to various halftime content on the YouTube or streams to... Mm-hmm. Do whatever they want. And sometimes you'll see it, but what it ends up seeming to be is most of the time is either blank or spent re-promoting the team or various YouTube entities. You know, check out our series on all the players we signed that you forgot we signed because they haven't played much yet because of the World Cup. Well, other related on the sponsorship is with Moda being the sponsor for the last year or two with Seattle and being having to be dropped because of their various losses in the healthcare field. When the new jerseys debuted last week, we actually got Microsoft as a new sponsor. Kind of awesome, you know, with their market share and everything, being owning everything on a Windows 10 operating system. But, of course, you don't know what the money is involved. But still, good exposure to have a quality brand.
Yeah, it is. And that's good to know, because I think, so Microsoft sponsors is the kit sponsor for the Sounders, too.
Yeah, with the Xbox branding, of course.
So it's nice to see that something from the Sounders is propping up the women's side as well.
Yeah, it's very nice.
Yeah, because maybe that's like our biggest complaint in Portland, and the reason we shit so much on Seattle in the women's league is just because Seattle likes to say, oh, we're Soccer City USA. But it's like, no, you don't support your women in the same way. You guys don't even show up.
Yeah.
And you have all your excuses for it. You can drive. You guys have, they have better attendance at their Sounders 2 matches at Starfire. 30 minutes south, at least.
With one-third less capacity in the stadium, theoretically.
And they can show up to a Sounders 2 match, but they can't show up to a rain match. I understand Memorial's a shit stadium. It's scary.
Yeah.
The bathrooms look like something out of Saw. You go in there and you're afraid you're gonna come out with like needing a tetanus shot or possibly having hepatitis.
Yeah. Or play a game of death to see if you get to leave the bathroom alive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I get that, but they don't show up. Mm-hmm. So it's nice to see that, you know, that the same company is sponsoring the kits for both the Rain, you know, and the Sounders.
Yeah.
The Rain seeing some of that support. So,
yeah, could be a lot worse. I mean, obviously, with a brand of Microsoft being the sponsor of Sounders, it could be worse that it's like Microsoft OneNote on the front of the women's jerseys. It's like, what the hell is that? I have no idea. I don't care. I'm going to turn off this feed.
At least it's not the paperclip from earlier Microsoft Word days, the thing that you hated and you wanted to get rid of it, and it just popped up.
So you're playing in a dumpster fire. Is there anything I can help with?
Or Microsoft Bing. With Bing, you can search for how to dispose of old mattresses.
Your coach is not capable of wearing nice attire on the sidelines. Is there anything I can help with?
Your coach has to wear boots that are needle-proof because of the used needles on the track.
Oh, God, yeah. You can't play your next home game because of the Voodoo Huck Jam musical extravaganza.
Ah, Seattle.
Yep.
Anyways, that's enough about Seattle. Anything else we want to discuss about Thorns? NWSL?
We kind of talked about expectations. Do you think the leaving out who else could be a team on the rise for the four playoff spots, do you think Portland, do you think that everything will work out injury-wise and international duty-wise to where Portland will be playing in there or even hosting a semifinal game?
I don't know yet. The cynical side of me says no. There's a side of me that just says, I think with the way the Thorns have been going, and seeing the number of the players that we could potentially lose to the Olympics, even though it's a smaller roster and it's a shorter time lost, I'm not that optimistic. And I want to be wrong.
Mm-hmm. And sadly, I don't think you've seen enough from the preseason to understand what the team's going to look like.
I haven't. Well, because I also missed the preseason with, you know, just I wasn't able to go just because of other obligations.
Even on
I'm letting our two listeners know the reason I couldn't go. It's not because I didn't care or because it was preseason.
You're the number two analyst.
Because I was moving. I was in the middle of moving. So I couldn't go. How are the Timbers doing? Has Rudy scored against us yet? Let's look this up.
3-0 at halftime, or 0-3.
Jesus Christ. Wait, what did Jamie Goldberg just say? See, that was the worst?
That was one of the worst halves I've ever seen from the Timbers.
Oh, man. 3-0.
Saying that and then following it with hashtag Rose City Till I Die is not really is more of a threat or a promise than it is a statement of loyalty at this point. Yeah. Rose City Till the Razor Blade emerges from the bathroom.
So going into Timbers land, we've got the Nags injury to talk about. What's his face? I forget the name of the ref. Scott Kelly? Was that who that was?
Alan Chapman,
yeah.
Chappie. Let's call him Chappie.
Apparently because he fucked up the call with where DeJong should have gotten a red. Chapman will not be refereeing the RSL Vancouver game.
Mm-hmm.
And now we're just waiting on a response out of the discipline committee as to what's going to happen with DeJong.
Yeah. There was a great article on Vice Sports by one of my favorite soccer writers, Aaron Gordon. I'll put the link in the show notes, talking about a recent convention. Pro referees go every 2 weeks and talk about various things. They spent loads of time on this one breakaway attack by a single player. He gets his arm grabbed and thrown down on a breakaway. Should have been an easy red card. They call nothing, which is kind of textbook for this league. And they talk about the various the things behind it, talking with the head ref, talking with the linesman. And it's a mixture of, oh, that was such a fast breakaway, I didn't have the angle. It's like, well, you need to push that trailing defender who is not impacting the play, you need to push him out of the way so you have the line of view. And you also need to communicate better with your linesman to say, because the linesman went in his ear and said, holding, referring to the arm grab, and that eventually brought the guy down. And so he says that, but the guy doesn't put his flag up. And it's like, so it's like middle schoolers trying to elicit signals and flirting, but at the pro referee level, mm-hmm. to where it's, you guys need to figure this out. You need to you need to know how to work quickly to get in position to view things. You need to be able to trust and communicate with each other verbally and obviously, with the eyes to say, you know, if you think it's enough to flag, you need to trust each other to throw up the flag and say, I got this as a sidelinesman, et cetera. It just really kind of goes and shows me that there's a long way to go.
Yeah, there is. And I don't think there's no more excuses for this. I mean, this is where I'm going to admit that I don't know how long Pro has been the refereeing organization for MLS. I want to say
2012.
Since 2012.
That's what the article says, is when they had the relationship to start this whole entity. Huh. So yeah,
I wonder who it was beforehand, because MLS has been around for 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
So Pro's been with us for 3 years.
Yeah.
4 years actually.
They're probably as such is for MLS and US Soccer Federation is to do. It's probably a way of controlling the growth, the quote unquote growth, mm-hmm. call it that, of the quality of refereeing in this country. But obviously they're taking their sweet ass time.
Yeah.
You watch an English game and see how they handle fouls and yellow cards and red cards, and then you watch MLS up to this season, including the season, it's like, wow, that's a certain yellow that they're waving off, or that's a certain yellow that they're barely giving a cheap foul to and no mm-hmm. continuation. It's regardless of what happened to Nagby, there's clearly been a lot of problems.
It's frustrating because so De Jong is getting a retroactive red, and it's being rumored. I saw on Twitter it's being rumored that he's going to have serve a 3-game suspension, which isn't enough. He should get 5.
No, straight red is 3 in England, I think, minimum.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. But this is the third match in a row where a player has committed a foul against the Timbers, was issued a yellow, and it should have been a red, and there's a retroactive red thrown in 3 times in a row against the Timbers, and it's like, this doesn't do shit for us, you know, because this benefits the next team that these people play. It doesn't benefit us whatsoever.
Yeah.
And these sort of calls are meant to benefit the team to whom that the team that is fouled against.
Yeah, 75th minute straight red means you can rest on your laurels and hold the 1-0 lead or keep mm-hmm. going versus eventually having to give it up.
And it's kind of frustrating. And to be honest, it makes it to the it's to the point where I personally have a hard time enjoying MLS. I don't even care to watch it anymore. If it weren't for the Timbers, I wouldn't bother with MLS.
That is exactly how I feel.
Because I'm just
love the Timbers burn the fucking league down to the ground.
Yeah.
Defect to the NASL, I don't fucking care.
Yeah. Because the thing is with pro, there's no accountability. So 3 times in a row now, the disciplinary committee has found that a ref did not issue a red card when they should have. What sort of punishment does pro pay for that? If we don't know. There's no accountability. We don't know what pro does. Because they don't issue any statements to the public stating, hey, this is what we're doing to make things better. Here's exactly why we made these calls. This is where we fucked up.
Yeah.
You don't see any of that.
No, it's like internal protections of like a police department mm-hmm. after someone has a transgression or something.
If a coach or an owner speaks out against the call or against the quality of officiating, they get fined.
Mm-hmm. It's very public.
Yeah, it's very public.
Before this, I mean, you mentioned that Chapman was being suspended from his next scheduled start as a ref, but they wouldn't have otherwise, in any other circumstance up to this last year, they never would have made that public.
Right.
It would have been insinuated and tossed on Twitter by an expert that's paying attention.
Yeah. And it's kind of infuriating. It's to the point where you don't want to watch it.
No.
And, you know, there's been... The only thing that... My one hope... And to me, the one thing that I remain optimistic about is that the amount of red cards and this rash of red cards and retroactive red cards being given out will change the game, will change the way we play.
They need to just look to other sports to see where the examples are. One thing I absolutely love is in the National Hockey League, oftentimes they will take into consideration everything that is happening in the game and extend the penalties for what happens. If you do a high stick, what they were doing under Brendan Shanahan, a former player and their head of disciplinary actions, was they would release a stinking YouTube video saying, replaying multiple times the incident that happens, play the context of it in the game, the context of it between the two players, and say, okay, this is what happened. This is why we can't allow it. This player has this type of history. And this is why we're suspending him, because of the other factors that he had previously mentioned. It's like, this is that quote unquote word transparency in another sport. And they should be doing this. They should be saying, now, this is the play that happened. We're playing a lot. Show that Nigel De Jong had absolutely terrible form going for this play. And it was foul him regardless. In the situation we're looking at, he had the weird triangular stance as his body's fading mm-hmm. back towards his goal. It's like, if you miss his foot, you're going to hip check the son of a bitch, because he didn't get the ball one way or the other with his legs split open. Nagby just tossed the ball right in between. So you're looking at least a yellow, what's going on there. And then if you want to take into De Jong's account of being a flagrant fucking asshole since 2010, at the very least on the national stage.
Yeah.
3 ain't enough.
Yep. And then you look at and what kind of is further pissing me off is Arena's response to all this, and saying that the media overhyped it, and then Arena's claim that Nagby was having issues with his ankle beforehand anyways. And it's like, how fucking stupid are you? Or did you not see the picture? There were some good quality pictures that showed exactly what happened, that shows De Jong's studs going right into Nagby's ankle.
He
studs up. That's a fucking red card.
He dug Nagby's cleats out of the fucking grass like a like a spade bringing up turf.
Mm-hmm. But like, even let's assume that, let's say hypothetically that Nagby was having problems with his ankle anyways, and that De Jong's tackle wasn't as bad as it appeared. Let's just say hypothetically. But if Nagby, if that's the case, if Nagby's having issues with his ankle, it's because he's like the number one fouled player in MLS, and pro doesn't do shit about it. And MLS doesn't do shit about it either, because what they, because the style of play that MLS kind of promotes is this very physical play. And there's this kind of this jargon in, within the league. You talk about it with Kansas City, we talk about it with Dallas, of it's a high intensity, high pressing, physical play. And it's like, to me, that's code for bullshit. When in the Premier League, you want to know who's associated with that, who gets associated with a physical style of play? Stoke. Mm-hmm. No one else does. In our league, we've got like three or four teams that are known for that sort of thing. And I feel like
you take it on reputation. I enjoy watching the second tier. It's fun watching that race to get into the Premier League. And they talk about that being a very physical game, and it's rough on Premier League loanees heading down. But it ain't nothing like the way what MLS is allowed, mm-hmm. which is almost entirely not because of the type of player they inhabit. It's not the De Jongs of the world coming to the MLS is causing this. It's the fact that it's like I can almost cleat this guy, and there's an outside chance it's a continuation mm-hmm. to play on.
Yeah. And, you know, it's like you can foul Nagby because at best you're going to give the Timbers a free kick from the spot. Yeah. At worst, you might get a yellow.
Yeah. And what's a 42-yard free kick in the position that De Jong fouled him? It's fucking nothing.
It's infuriating. Yeah. You know, Chris Reifer wrote an article on Stumptown Footy about maybe one of the problems is that the Timbers, they're nice. They're nice people. They're nice people off and on the pitch. They're low maintenance, low drama. They don't cause problems. And you say maybe that's part of the problem is that, you know, you have this very laid back team that's not going to do much when these fouls occur. They're not going to be getting in the referee's face. They're not going to be challenging other players when these sort of fouls occur. And Twitter got, you know, Timbers Twitter got a little, I think they read a little too deep into what Reifer was saying, and they were saying they thought that maybe he was advocating
towards the base emotions we don't like seeing, like you saw the Atletico Barcelona game, a late potential penalty challenge with a possible handball brings literally seven people from Barcelona mm-hmm. up to challenge. I doubt Reifer wants to see that. I don't want to see that. It's too much of a slowdown of the game. Right. And it just...
But I don't think that's what he's getting at. And what I was thinking about was, you know, this season with the Spurs, with Tottenham, there were moments where Dele Alli had suffered a hard foul or a hard tackle, and Eric Dier got in and defended him and told the other player to back off. Harry Kane did the exact same thing. That's a team that stands up for one another. There is such a cohesion with the Spurs that if you foul one, you're going to bring all of them in. And it never gets into, you know, fighting or fist fights, that sort of thing. It doesn't get that far, but you know not to fuck with someone on that team because Eric Dier's probably going to have something to say to you. What happens when Nagby gets fouled? Nothing. We don't have a presence on the pitch. We don't have an advocate. We, you know, with Will Johnson being gone, we don't have someone to go talk to the ref and say, hey, this is bullshit.
Yeah, Jewsbury is that guy with the kind of cred, but he's not a regular starter at this point of his career.
So I think in a way, Reifer was right. We need someone. The Timbers need to stand up for themselves a little bit more and need to protect each other.
It would be nice. Yeah, in the situation like the aftermath of De Jong, you at least want to get your captain out there jarring because he has the legitimate case to do it with the mm-hmm. armband.
Yeah. So, you know.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see, especially with the what will eventually become the outcome tonight, that they got some regrouping to do.
Yeah, we do. Yeah. It's our second blowout of the season.
Yeah.
3-0. Have they started yet?
Yeah, 47th minute. That's a bad tweet.
Oh.
At LSL _brass saying, Caleb Porter, you need this much boxes of Kleenex. Harsh. Quality yet harsh.
It is.
Yeah. We're earning that.
You know, it's the beginning of the season. MLS is long. It's a long season, so I don't stress over these first few games.
And the way the roster rotation and loss of players, I wasn't necessarily feeling another playoff run this year, to be honest.
Yeah, I don't know how many teams repeat. Well, repeat playoffs is one thing, but repeat championship. I think maybe the Galaxy have done it.
Yeah. Even if you're the loser of that title game, a lot of times they won't even. Mm-hmm. You might not even see them in the playoffs next year. Hell, we didn't even see the Galaxy but the knockout game last year, thanks to the wondrous signing of David, I can't play defense, Gerard.
Oh, yeah.
Don't trust an attacker in his older age to care about playing holding midfield. That's moral of his story. This league will eventually understand that, but not yet.
No. Well, it's all about, at this point, I think the league's coming out of it where they're not signing as many of the old guard from the English or European league just for the attendance.
Yeah.
I don't think they're doing that as much anymore.
I think they're going to start to learn from teams like the Whitecaps in Dallas to where trust the youngsters, find youngsters that are already seasoned in other academies, and then just destroy everything. I think if Dallas comes out and lays waste on this league, like in any form like they are in this individual game,
I think they'll
see that change, absolutely.
Yeah, I think they'll do that. And I think adding a Rudy was a good move on their part.
Yeah.
Makes me sad.
That was not a smart cap casualty allowance.
No, it was not.
I understood Wallace. I mean, he fit his role really well, but he was getting up there in age and wasn't the most dynamic attacking. But, you know, you had, in Rudy, you had sexy UEFA quality footwork on those shots in. It's like, how do you lose that in this mm-hmm. league?
From what I understand, had to do with his contract. Like, he was going to become...
It's the cap, yeah.
It's the cap. It's the way MLS sets all this, sets up the salary caps.
Mm-hmm. Eventually, we'll have to get rid of these old aging center backs. Then we'll have the money to keep players like you.
Yeah, around. Yeah.
I mean, what happens if Beasler turns into a dynamo on the back line like his older brother, and we have to start paying him? And we've already got Nagby and other guys to pay up the front. It's like, well, compromises will be made.
Yeah, and hopefully the T2 will return some results, or not return results, will be worth the investment. We'll be able to start utilizing T2 for the first team.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll post the Twitter picture, but our podcast assistant is eating the notes in my black cat, so I think that's going to be our play out music.
It is. Yeah. Do do do. Do, 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 do,
I should do, do the do. Bad I don't know if you listen to Keeper Notes, the Mix Zone podcast that's tied to Dummy.
Mm-hmm.
I've been working on some intros where I throw in some like announcers screaming goals, but having the same song for 30 or 40 episodes just doesn't sound interesting to me as an intro or outro.
What we can do is use chants from Thorns matches. Mm-hmm. And we can work in cursing, like one-liners from the soccer family that down in the 107 at Thorns matches.
Yeah. One of the capos, I think it was Holly Duffy or something, was in a way subtweeting because she didn't say what she was talking about. She's saying, I can't believe what's the point of keeping this terrible chant going? I think it was like the Mexican chant with the various, I think it's Puto or whatever.
Uh-huh.
But she had no reference to it in the tweets. I started catching them, and I wanted to reply to her. It's like, yeah, I hate We Are the A-Team too, man. It's awful. Why do we allow this affront to our ears? And our...
I think if we get that chant, when that one comes up, we just take our scarves and wrap them around our faces, like, hear no evil, see no evil, speak no evil.
I liked it last year when we were doing that when our national team players were gone, because I kept screaming, allegedly, in between, after they said We Are the A-Team, because we were playing like shit at home, obviously.
Such a troll.
Or maybe we'll just reverse it. Are we the A-Team? Do we have the ball? Theoretically, do we have the ball? Does Nietzsche think we have the ball? Because time is irrelevant, right?
Mm-hmm.
Time is just a construct.
It is.
And with that construct, I think it's time for us to leave.
It is time. Good night.
Night.